might be close to bed.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured the audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
Yakshimash! I'm Madame Borat. This is my country of Kazakhstan. It's nice.
So welcome, everyone, to another episode of Comedy History 101. Where we school you in comedy. And what we just heard was a clip from the classic Ali G show and the character that Sacha Baron Cohen made famous, Borat, which I believe is my favorite of the Sacha Baron Cohen characters. And how about you, co-host Scott Kalanico? And
yes,
welcome.
Of course. Well, thank you. I never left. But my favorite character, and I forgot to, this is my favorite bit of Borat trivia that I read, was that that suit that he wears. So mm-hmm. Apparently he just wears the same suit all the time, and they've never had it cleaned.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, you'd play the smelly foreigner. Before we launch into a bit of the history of the new show, Who is America? We have a few things to plug up front. I have some tour dates coming up the whole month of August, beginning August 4th through 26th. I'll be appearing at the Edinburgh Festival in Scotland, 9 p.m. at the Banshee Labyrinth, doing my new show, Harmon Leon's American Horror Story. So be sure to go. And so basically what you have dived into is part two on our comedy history of the new Showtime show, Who is America, starring Sacha Baron Cohen.
In America, there have been a lot of shootings in the school and in the university. What do the liberals say is the reason for this and the solution?
Well, they blame it on guns. Yeah, it's crazy because
they
people...
blame it on the guns?
Yes.
Sugar.
Yes.
It's sugar.
It is.
Oh, yeah, and then Ali G was, you know, the white guy trying to be the rap star that didn't know any better from the middle of West London.
Yeah, but he worked really well because it wasn't like if you watch, and we'll dive into the early work of Sacha Baron Cohen in a bit, but if you watch, like, so Ali G, as we all know, all right, we'll dive into it right now. I believe the character started in 1999 on a show called The 11 O'Clock Show, which a show I knew about from doing the Edinburgh Festival, and it was a character, he was like, was he South London or West London? South London.
It's West London, he's
Staines.
Coming.
Ali in the land of Wales, Ali in the land of Wales, boo!
Now the kids at this university might all sound like divs, but that is because they're speaking in the language of Wales. I is gonna go in there and learn some of this Welsh and see if I can try and prevent from getting covered in flop.
Staines, which is, actually they changed their name to, their name is now Staines upon Thames, I think. Is that what they changed it to? Yeah. Yeah. I think just within the last couple of years.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah, Staines upon Thames.
Yeah. So with that, I believe he won like best newcomer with his character on the 11 O'Clock Show. And from there, 1999, he won best newcomer at the British Comedy Awards for the 11 O'Clock Show. And then went on from that, it spun off into the Ali G Show. But with the British episodes, what worked with that is when he was like interviewing politicians, they thought of him because the UK, as you know, is just such a class system where he was, you know, considered like the underclass, where he's not bright because he hasn't had the opportunities. So the politicians would be there to, when he says these idiotic things, they weren't like, you know, how someone in the US react. They would react by, oh, this guy doesn't know because he hasn't had the opportunity of having education, you know?
Yeah, I think their background story for how they would get interviews like kind of stayed the same between there, the UK, and the US, and that they were saying that he was working on like a young people's news show. So that's kind of how they would get access to like politicians, and that's why, you know, they could kind of say that's why he's the way he is, because he's like, you know, a young people TV show.
You like different things, okay?
Wicked, I like. Me like punani.
We like punani. We're going to use this dewy again, okay? To say I like.
Chicken.
So hang on. Dewey hoffy. You say hoffy?
What is that?
I like.
Hoffy.
Hoffy to like.
Like coffee.
Yeah? So you can say dween hoffy.
I don't like coffee.
Oh, well, never mind. Tell me something you do like, yeah? So
chicken.
Dween.
We like the chicken.
So yeah, exactly. So again, the people that he was interviewing had empathy for both Barat and Ali G. And I don't really see that kind of empathy with these kind of characters.
No. No, not at all.
Yeah, so I think that's what's lacking in Who is America. But it's so funny you mentioned that, you know, Ali G represented himself as a host of a kids' TV show because before there was Ali G, there was Sacha Baron Cohen. And one of his first breaks, after, as you said, he went to Cambridge after he went to that public school, which is private school here in the States. He dropped out of Cambridge and he went to France and he studied clowning with master clowner, I'm probably not going to say this, Philippe Gaultier.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Gaultier. Yeah, but who's one of the famous clown schools in the world? And Gaultier said of Sacha Baron Cohen, he was a good clown, full of spirit. And that's sort of where he got his sort of physicality for a lot of his characters from this clown school that he went to.
Ah, okay, interesting.
Yeah, and from there, he hosted a kind of a youth-orientated TV show called Pump TV.
Really? A familiar mush?
You look like you tried to give a cactus a blowjob once.
That's actually a high piece of art. I did the Pepsi Slam advert. In which I was swallowing a cactus.
Really?
Yeah.
And?
And you kind of ruined my gag associated with it by saying blowjob beforehand.
Which I believe aired around like 1996 maybe. So it was, you know, a couple of years before he created the Ali G character. Mm-hmm. And then from there, actually, I think this was maybe around 2000 or around the time he was doing the 11 o'clock show. He got this part in a Lee Jeans commercial where he played a DJ named Super Greg.
Super Greg, number one.
Okay.
Did you see any of those clips I sent of Super Greg?
I saw a little bit of them, yeah. He had the webpage.
Yeah. So, it was 2000. So he played this DJ character named Super Greg, which is pretty funny. I never seen him do that. I know it was just an ad campaign, but he had like kind of like a monobrow and a tracksuit. So, again, almost like an Ali G type character or in the same sort of genre.
Right, yeah.
And he also had another character called, maybe it was on Pump TV, called Christo, which later evolved into Borat.
What is this dress?
It's a couture dress,
yes,
by Thomas Starzewski. He used to do a lot of the Princess of Wales's clothes.
Yes. Who is she?
Thomas Starzewski.
The Prince of Wales.
Oh, no, he used to do dresses for the Princess of Wales.
Yes. Who is she?
Who is she?
Yes.
Diana.
Ah, Diana! In Albania, we hear she is dead.
She is dead.
We are sorry.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, so that's sort of the lineage of, you know, where Sacha Baron Cohen came. So kind of the creation, the Who is America creation story, origin story.
Okay, yeah, I'm trying to remember. So do you remember that the Turkish guy, the Me Kiss You, that guy? Do you remember that web page that was a big deal?
No, what was that?
Oh, but hold on. This is, no, because I think he's kind of mentioned Me Kiss You web page.
Was it a Borat
thing? No, that was it. No, Mahir. Yeah, yeah. Mahir's original page. You don't remember this?
I could look it up. I have the internet.
Right, hold on, dude. Hold on, dude. Right here.
Send me a link via Facebook.
Yeah, right here. So you can see. You'll see. This is a big deal, like around 99, 2000. So, and I think he mentioned that he'd kind of taken stuff from this. And this is definitely a very Borat.
Oh, my God. Mahir. Yeah. Who is this Mahir character?
So he was basically just some Turkish dude who set up this webpage. And, you know, you can definitely see some proto-Borat in here.
Oh, my God. This is like, first you think it's a parody page. And is this a real guy?
Yeah, no, this is a real dude. That's the thing. So this is kind of proto-Borat. Because he definitely, Sacha Baron Cohen, like, you know, definitely kind of cribbed a little bit from this guy.
Which is fine if it's a real guy. First of all, we'll post this website on our on our webpage, which is what? Comedy History 101. Because this is pretty awesome. And you can see total Borat within this guy. He's laying on the beach.
I know.
Kind of like a Speedo.
We've got his email.
He's playing the accordion.
We should drop him an email, dude.
Yeah, we should drop. He speaks Turkish, English, Russian. But he spells them all wrong.
He became an internet. He became an internet celebrity in 1999.
Holy shit! He didn't update his website since then, and he has both his mobile number, his home phone number, and his fax machine number on his website, and his address.
Okay, this is interesting. Yeah, so similarities with the British television. I'm just reading from Wikipedia here. But they're saying, similarities with the British television character Borat were noted as soon as, I'm just going to call him Mahir. Mahir's website became famous in 1999. Yeah, and particularly his use of the catchphrase, "I like sex." Sex.
That's really funny. Is there any video on him?
No, man. He's a real dude. He goes around and tours around and does stuff. He's considering a lawsuit against Borat.
Oh, now he is? Like that movie came out like a decade ago. Is he still fighting that?
I don't know, man. It's Mahir to Borat, I sue you. this is from 12 years ago, but that's all right.
Oh yeah. But yeah, I never knew about him.
So there you go. So now we got that out there. Yeah, because that was definitely, because I remember that and then seeing the Borat stuff. So I knew about Mahir before Borat.
Yeah, so what year did Borat come out, the movie?
Oh, the movie came out, that was 2006.
Is this my house? Auntie, please.
This is where I live. And my bed. This is a VCR recorded.
Yeah. 2006, yeah.
Okay, so 2006, the movie Borat came out, and that kind of changed the whole playing field of comedy and really launched, you know, Sacha Baron Cohen into, you know, just a global international superstar. You know, he's big before then, but this really just like took him crazy over the top, because that's a pretty low budget movie if you look at it.
Oh yeah, it was like, you know, how much does that cost, really? You know, when you think about it,
yeah. I mean, it's just like you got all your talent for free except the like the principal actors, and everyone else is just signing like waivers, you know, allowing it. But in 2002, they had the movie Ali G in the House, which have you ever seen that?
I've seen it, and I actually thought it was okay.
Now he's cleaning up the streets.
Sorry.
Speaking his mind.
You are an embarrassment to your party and to the people of Staines.
That is not a very nice way to talk about your mum.
And serving queen and country.
Her Majesty the Queen.
Shaven Avon.
Oh my God, because I was almost going to use the phrase unwatchable.
Really? Did you say you watched it?
I watched it back when the British Ali G show was out, and we had to go, like, it was like in the early 2000s, and you couldn't find, you know, it wasn't on the internet, and you had to go to, it was called Lost Weekend Video on Valencia Street in San Francisco, because like videotapes were all in PAL, you know, like UK format. Yeah, and someone at that store would dub the PAL tapes into like regular format. And and I would go there and watch like, you know, rent like Peep Show and all the Ali G's. And I rented Ali G in the house and I thought it was like almost unwatchable. But it also co-stars Martin Freeman, who, you know, original Office, and went on to be in about a zillion other movies. which is another episode in itself, because he actually became more famous than or credible than Ricky Gervais, his co-star in The Office.
Oh yeah, well, here's an interesting thing that you're talking about in the website The Spectator. They're actually, this is just kind of came out. This story is their headline, and their story about the show is Sacha Baron Cohen isn't funny, especially when he's mocking the powerless.
Oh, see, then it goes back to what I was saying. Yeah. And it's like, so again, going back to what I was saying before is that he just has crazy makeup and he's way too famous. There was a segment that got written about where he goes into this gun store in some sort of small town. He's playing like a Hungarian character. And the minute they walk in and they're interviewing the gun store clerk after the fact, like the first thing the gun store clerk went, when he heard the Hungarian character talk, he went, Borat, you're Borat, right?
But a gun store owner in California says he wasn't fooled by the actor when he tried to trick him. Take a look at this surveillance video from Warrior One Guns and Ammo back in 2017. The store owner says Cohen came in claiming to be an Hungarian immigrant wanting to buy a gun for a documentary, but the owner called him out, and then Cohen ran out the front door.
Yeah.
So again, it's me, like every time that Sacha Baron Cohen does a foreign character on Who Is America, to me, I can clearly hear like Borat. To me, that it's just like all right there. So yeah, why, you know, you got a guy in a wig and in makeup, and he kind of sounds like Borat.
Hey everyone, just wanted to give a shout out to our newest sponsor, Words Over Chair Productions. Words Over Chair is a full-service creative agency with offices in Edinburgh, Scotland, and Brooklyn. Our specialty, amazing storytelling, motion graphics, archival footage, all mixed with a flair for humor. And the best part about Words Over Chair? You already like us. That's because Words Over Chair is run by yours truly, Scott, along with my co-host on this very podcast, Harmon Leon. You might have seen our work on websites like Vice, The Atlantic, Vanity Fair, Timeline, and many others. Want to make something boring? Fine. Go do it yourself. Want to make something cool? Get in touch with us. WordsOverChair.com.
Yeah, you could tell that one when they did the one about the politicians with the kindergarten gun thing. That first politician like knew like right off the bat. He's like, "Yeah, I'm not going for this." And they kind of use that to set up all the other guys.
You mean the guy with the kindergarten gun, or the guy who did like the sort of training thing with the stuffed animals and guns?
No, not that
animals.
One. The kindergarten. Remember when they talked to all the different congressmen and they're having them read the stuff?
Oh yeah, just vaguely. I think I was just sort of despising, oh man, this isn't funny to myself, and then that's why I probably got distracted because that wasn't memorable.
Yeah, but you could tell as a point is that you could tell the very first guy was just like, yeah, no, I'm not buying this. He said something like, oh, you're gonna walk in here with your cameras and ask me a setup question like that. It's basically what, and they left that in. They use that as a setup to. So look how dumb these other politicians are who fell for it.
Yeah, which leads us to one of the early Ali G episodes when he went over to HBO. It was HBO, right?
Right, HBO, yep.
Ali G interviews a man who is now the president of the United States.
203 zillion, whatever, 496,400. And then a one. Check this out. If all those people bought one glove at $19.99, just one glove, business would be worth, wait for it.
I'm waiting.
That much.
Donald Trump.
Yeah, the ice cream glove. Yeah, I mean, I think they also on the that was kind of what made all those work too, is that like each show had a theme. So, yeah. You know, all the different characters would be going off that same theme. So it kept things tight. And then I think some of the funniest parts in those shows were the
live
panel discussions. Yeah, and that those were funny. But then the live panel discussions they would have.
Just refresh my memory on that. I mean, I remember from the British version, they would have that, you know, and LEG would be like kind of doing like, you know, like a Geraldo sort of thing. You know?
Yeah, they just have like three or four people sit down. I just remember one where they had like a Catholic priest and a rabbi. It sounds like a joke. But they had like a Catholic
priest and they
priest
walk into a bar.
Like a rabbi. Yeah. But then an atheist guy. And it was all actually pretty, you know, entertaining to watch those guys go after each other. And then Allie G would be there to kind of jump in too. And it was like, you know, it was actually a little bit of nice discussion as well as being funny too.
Yeah, so I think, you know, again, going back to this is I get the center axis of this. This is like what they're trying to be is like Allie G and exposing the underbelly of America during Trump America.
But, I noticed they used a couple of our favorite clips in the setup for the show, too.
What was that?
They use Trump mocking reporter. They used that one a couple of times.
They haven't used the Trump girls. We love that one.
Yeah, and they use the Trump girls, and they use something else. They use like three clips that we use all the time.
Yeah, because those are the classics. Yeah. But the thing is, like, again, what Trump claims was like he knew right away that it was he was being had when you know, Sacha Baron Cohen was interviewing him as LAG about the ice cream glove.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just, you know, it's like we were talking about in the Trump episode, the roast of Trump. It's like he doesn't like.
Oh, wait, where do people hear that episode?
Oh, they can hear it at comedyhistory101.com.
Ah, and leave a comment too.
Yeah.
And, no, sorry,
also,
go ahead.
iTunes, Stitcher, Last.fm, wherever you find your favorite podcast.
Edinburgh Festival, all August. Harman Leon's American Horror Story. Anyways, good. We plug. We plug here. It's good. But anyways, so what were we saying in that episode on Trump?
It was just how like Trump doesn't like it when he's the butt of the joke. I mean, he really doesn't like it. He just kind of wants to be in control all the time.
Yeah, just funny footnote on that. So Sacha Baron Cohen was being interviewed on WTF, and he was talking about that episode. And it was like one of those things where they went into the office in like – and this was back in a – you know, it's probably about the early 2000s or early to mid-2000s. So it was just, you know, failed businessman Trump at that point. So he said, you know, like Trump made him wait in his lobby for like, you know, about – you know, an hour. And it was a lobby. Yeah, not the lobby of the building, but like the lobby of his office, waiting area of his office. And right. Sacha Baron Cohen could hear him like screaming on the phone at Rudy Giuliani, who I believe was mayor at the time. Right. So it was like Trump was screaming at the then mayor, Rudy Giuliani, over the phone, like treating him like he was a child. And
Get me a Coke. Give me a Coke.
And smash cut here. You know, that's his representation for something we'll talk about on our other podcast. This is the president.
This is the prep, which we are going to talk about. I've got everything ready, so we'll talk about that after. Just on the marketing of this, that's kind of they kind of did their guerrilla style marketing with this. Showtime did. So what they started doing was releasing trailers for the series before saying anything about it. So they released one trailer on June 29th of this year, and then another one on July 3rd, just in time for the 4th of July. They wouldn't say who was involved with the project, and I thought this was one of the funniest things. It was rumored that Kathy Griffin, this is going to be her, Kathy Griffin's comeback vehicle.
Oh my God. I'm just, I'm looking at a photo of her with her palms out, you know, classic, you know, what I love, hate, you know, when you go into comedy clubs is the wall of headshots.
And oh yeah, yeah.
She's doing the pose that says that you've seen a zillion times at comedy club headshot walls of like, I'm doing the funny pose because I'm funny.
Oh yeah. Oh, Kathy.
But yeah, they did a good job with the marketing. You didn't realize, you know, they showed none of the characters. They showed like Dick Cheney. By the way, that Dick Cheney bit was just a lot of hype. It was just kind of flat.
Yeah, and they put that the waterboarding jug and handkerchief on eBay. And it got up to bidding to a couple $1,000s, and they were going to donate the money to Amnesty International until eBay pulled it.
Oh, really? You mean Sacha Baron Cohen's water jug?
Yeah, the one that Dick Cheney signed.
Because he signed it. Oh, why did eBay pull it?
He autographed it. I don't know. eBay said it was something about their rules or whatever.
Oh, weird. Hmm. Yeah, well, there you have it, but a little bit flat. So, so anyways, I guess, you know, we're kind of on the home stretch here. So what works about the show and what doesn't work?
For me, I mean, you know, when he stuck to the thing, like, you know, the making fun of the Georgia congressman, kind of just revealing this, you know, mm-hmm. state congressman to be kind of an ass. That was it. That was, you know, his punching. That was his... gently prodding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Comedy focused up rather than comedy focused down.
Laser focused comedy on going up on the upper classes, and I thought that worked pretty well. The character is scary. I don't care much for that guy. Not because he's Israeli, just because he looks scary. And the other characters don't really care too much for. I mean, they're just not. Just don't think they're that funny. I know he got into a little bit of trouble with the William G. Makepeace. What was the
liberal Billy writer.
Wayne? No, the Billy Wayne Ruddock Jr. Because he's in a not a wheelchair. He's in a cart. What do you call those things?
Oh, like a rascal.
Yeah, he's in one of those.
Oh, is he?
But actually, in that point, you know, he says, because Sarah Palin's all mad because he said he was a veteran.
Yeah, so tell people about that controversy if they haven't read it a zillion times on the internet. Coming up, so yeah.
Yeah, he said he was a veteran of the Postal Service, you know, and she's like, how dare you make fun of our veterans like that?
Yeah, so they got it covered. I mean, you have a guy from Cambridge who's, you know, that you're not going to make fun of vets. But, so anyways, we got that episode coming up.
That dude could work, but as it is now, he doesn't really. The gender studies guy is okay. He's all right, you know. I don't think the ex-convict artist is going to work.
That was just one segment. He didn't make it for the other one, like... But, yeah, you know, and then
the Italian dude didn't care too much for, and also
and the Italian dude just sounded like Borat.
Yeah, I'm a little insulted.
By who? Oh, making fun of Italians? Yeah,
exactly. There you go.
Yeah, because you got your passaporto.
Yeah, passaporto.
Yeah. So my takeaway is, you know, maybe it'll get its legs, but right now it just seems a bit. There's the center axis is. You know, needs to be tighter. And again, it's like bits go too long. What worked on the Ali G show was, like you said, there was like funny interstitials that kind of tied it all together that took you out of having to always depend on the field pieces. But, you know, for the most part, it's probably better than worse. But it's definitely, you know, of a different era and definitely not as good as Ali G show. Because, and just again to restate, it's because none of the people have empathy for the characters, where Borat and Ali G, people kind of felt sorry for them. So therefore, you know, like when Borat went to a house and he's taking like that manners class.
Oh yeah.
And he goes and takes his shit and puts it in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
You know, people had, they just, oh no, we don't do that here in America. Let me take you aside and explain it to you. And then you had a similar type of bit in the first episode where I believe it was the liberal character going into kind of a conservative household.
Right, yeah, into the conservative
household. And it was like the same sort of premise, but exactly. There was none of that empathy. It was just like, watch as I make him say stupid things. You know, so it didn't, yeah. It was just, it's just like a lot of that, of just making people say stupid things where, like in Borat, you would actually get them to take action to correct Borat's, you know, actions.
Yeah, I mean, also with the Borat, I mean, it was just that physical comedy, because I remember, like, the one when we went to the workout, and he was trying to use all the workout machines. I mean, it's still funny every time I watch that, when he's on that treadmill and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's where his clown training came in, where exactly, he just had a great, kind of like a Charlie Chaplin silent comedian type clowning movement to him.
Exactly.
So, does that do it? Do we cover it?
I think we did. I think we covered as much as
we can. Do we fill an hour?
after two. Well, with your clip, drop some clips in there, I think we're good.
And with that, it's time to plug away. Scott, do you have anything you like to plug?
Dude, you can't use plug away. That's mine.
Oh, is that you're going to sue?
Yeah, that's someone that's just like my ear. I might sue you. Hey, yes, plug away. Well, folks, as always, if you like listening to me and Harmon here, you're going to love listening to me and Harmon on This is the President, our podcast about presidential politics, presidential phone calls, and all things presidential, where we take the presidents of the past and make them the presidents of the future. You can find us at you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Last.fm, and all your favorite comedy and all your favorite podcast locations. And so be sure to download, click, like, and subscribe. That's This is the President with Scott and Harmon.
That's right. And once again, you can find me the whole month of August. I'll be in Edinburgh, Scotland, 9 p.m., Banshee Labyrinth, with my show Harmon Leon's American Horror Story. Ooh, that sounds kind of scary. And with that, we will see you next time here on Comedy History 101, where we school you in comedy. Thanks a lot, everyone, and bye-bye.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.